And good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just come to you. We just thank you that you have the answer to all the questions. Your word is priceless, and you are beyond priceless. You are beyond comprehension, God. You made everything, and you made us, and you want to live with us for eternity, and you want to inhabit us, and you want us to be best friends. And God, we're going to discuss that today, how we can become best friends with you. And so we just ask for your inspiration and guidance, because we know you'll supply that, because this is exactly what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take a look at our scripture for today in Galatians 6. This is a powerful explanation of how to become best friends with God, because God wants us to become like his son, Jesus Christ. And he spells that out here. We're going to cover the whole chapter, but I'm going to read it first so that we can get the concept. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, this is so powerful. You which are spiritual, that eliminates 99% of us. Everybody but me. No, just kidding. We are all flawed. We're all sinners and so on. You which are spiritual, that should mean we who have the Holy Spirit, so that we have power to do what we could never do otherwise. Restore, don't tear them down, but restore them gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. In other words, you might be guilty of the same thing. Have you ever tried to tell somebody they need to get egg off their face when you've got egg on your face? I had this black spot. I hit something on my head, and I didn't even know it was there until my wife said, did you know that you have a black spot on your head? You know, I bumped something or whatever when I was cleaning stuff yesterday. Carry each other's burdens, because we're here. That's what Jesus did. He carried people's burdens everywhere. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I'm going to explain that, because most of us are wondering, what does that mean? What is the law of Christ? We're going to see that in a moment. But here in the process, if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, because that's the way it is, he deceives himself. So you're just playing games with yourself when you think that you are better than somebody else, because that is deception. Because God says there's none righteous, no, not even one. The only righteousness comes from Jesus Christ living in us, and he transforms us. So verse 4 says, each one should test his own actions. In other words, look in the mirror. Am I really doing these things that we're reading about right here? And if not, ask God to implement it in our lives, because you can't do it. You can try, but you'll forget in 30 seconds. But God can help remind you, and he will, because you're fulfilling his will. Test your own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, because we need to compare ourselves with Jesus Christ. For each one should carry his own load. In other words, everybody has his cross to bear. And we need to learn how to deal with those situations. And some have blindness, some have deafness, some have arthritis, some have this, that, or the other thing. And each one is challenging, but we've got to deal with it, because God is developing character in us to prepare us for eternity through whatever trials that we're going through. So anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. So that's why we put the little notes out there. You can put in there if you've got any questions, thoughts, or transformations, or things that you wish you could have changed but haven't been able to change in 50 years. Put it on there, and then we'll discuss how that can work, maybe. Do not be deceived, verse 7. God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man reaps, that's what he sows. In other words, what we do is going to have an impact on your life for the rest of your life. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will receive destruction. In other words, if you're seeking your own will, and I want what I want when I want it, then it's not going to work. Because God says there's a way that seems right to a man, that the ends thereof are the ways of death. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, that's God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because they're one. When we seek to please God, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And it's not hard. It's easy. God does not lie. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That's the yoke of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. For my yoke is easy because he does it. We don't have to do it. He's going to do it through us, but you have to be willing to do what he says. That's all. And just ask him to remind you and to prompt you and to prompt you again and again and again at whatever you need, depending upon how good of a memory you got. Mine's kind of a little bit lacking after 77 years. But here it says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And it's easy to just feel like hopeless. A lot of people get into a attitude of hopelessness and fatalism and feeling like nothing's ever going to change. And when we have that attitude, God can't work in our lives because we're putting a barrier. Doubt is a barrier. Faith brings the power of God in. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when you've got doubt and fear, and say, nothing can change. I can't do that. Well, of course you can, because the Bible says you can't. But Christ in you can do it with the God. All things are possible. And he goes on to say, so don't give up. And we'll explain more about that later. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Don't leave out any group and say, I can't do anything for this person because they're Chinese or they're black or they're purple or different colors. Or they don't do things like I do things. No, we need to look at everybody through God's eyes. That's how to become a really good friend of God, because he wants to hang out with those who want to hang out with him. And he wants you to be one of his best friends. And only God can do that. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us do good unto all people, but especially to those of the household of faith. And see what large letters I use as I write the you with my own hand. So he's spelling this out for us. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. And a lot of times we just don't want to really become Christian things by returning good and so forth for evil, because it's programmed into our minds. If somebody does mean to you, you just do mean back and equalize things. That's not how it works. That's satanic. God wants us to return good for evil. Verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our best friend. And if you want to become best friends with God, ask him to facilitate the process. He will love to do that. He wants to be best friends with you. We're going to see that he was best friends with two other people that it mentions two or three different times for each one of them, that he was best friends with them. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. That's the Holy Spirit coming in you, and I will create in you a new life. This new life is Jesus. And this is what we need to be focusing on and say, God, I want to be best friends with you. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Because it says Israel, all Israel will be saved. Romans 11, all Israel. And they were the most rebellious stinkers you could come up with, because they were rebelling and worshiping Baal while Moses was at the top of the mountain. Crazy, crazy. And so anytime you think there's no hope for me, God thinks there's a lot of hope for you, because he thinks there's hope for Israel, and Israel was really messed up. But God gave his life for the whole world, every human being. So don't ever underestimate. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. So now let's dissect this real quickly. What is this law of Christ? Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Hold your finger here, because we're going to be coming back, going through this. But let's take a look at Luke chapter 10. And we're going to find out what the law of Christ is, because this is critical to understand. And this is brought out in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he says in verse 25 of the parable of the Good Samaritan, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. That kind of covers pretty much everything that goes on in your body, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. But that's Old Testament, New Testament, and Future Testament. It's all wrapped up there because that's what it's all about. God wants us to love God with every fiber of our being. That's how we become best friends with God. Now, just to get a clue on how this works, let's go back a couple of pages here in Luke, because still hold your finger in Galatians 6. We're coming back. But let's go back to Luke chapter 4 and verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out into a solitary place, and people were looking for him. And when they came to him where he was, he tried to keep them from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the towns also, because that is why I was sent. Because God wants us to win friends and influence people, because that's what he does. And if we're going to be friends with God, we need to do what he wants to do and do what he did. And he was winning friends and influencing people like Galatians 6 tells us to do. And he says, I've got to share this with others. I must preach the good news, because the good news is massive. It incorporates every good principle that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount. Loving your enemies, doing good to those that hate you, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed, all these things are good guidelines to become a friend of Jesus and what he wants us to do. But now, let's take a look at chapter 5 and verse 15. And it said, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But, Jesus was not too busy. B-U-S-Y means being under Satan's yoke. Busy, 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 busy. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Interesting. Now, if we want to be like Jesus, we need to do what he did. He often withdrew to lonely places. At college, we called it a prayer closet, and we would go in the prayer closet and pray. But you have a separate room or anywhere that is private that you can have time to just talk with God. God wants to talk with us. That's how you become best friends with somebody. You talk with them. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That's how you become best friends with God. Be praying all day long. How do you do that? You say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to live my life? Show me, teach me, come and live within me, fill me with your character. And these thoughts can be going through us all day long. Notice verse 12 of chapter 6. One of those days, Jesus went out into the hills to pray and spent the night praying to God. Oh, that's enough to melt your mind, isn't it? Jesus went out into the hills to pray and spent the night praying to God. And this wasn't even before, just before his death. This was early on in his ministry. That's how he became like the Father, because Jesus had the Father living in him, because he was inviting him and talking to him consistently and constantly, not just all day, but all night on occasions. Isn't that fascinating, isn't it? Look over another couple of pages and take a look at chapter 9 in verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say I am? But anyway, the disciples bring this up because he's always finding a place to pray in private. That's a beautiful example. This is how you become best friends with God. You look for every possible time to spend private time with God. Notice verse 28 of the same chapter. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. They didn't go up there to hike. He went up there to pray. When was the last time you went up into a mountain to pray? Something to think about. These scriptures kind of hit me between both eyes. I said, wow, this is fascinating. But this is what God wants. Notice chapter 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. So you can go find a tree and go sit under a tree and pray. Or you can go find a place on a bench in a park and just sit there and pray. But this is how we become best friends with God. It's so exciting to see how much it mentions about Jesus praying all the time. Now let's take a look about Abraham. Notice James, hold your finger here because we're going to be coming back. But James chapter 2, and notice verse 23. And verse 23 said, "And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." Wouldn't that be nice? Say, "What? Who are you?" "Oh, he's God's friend." Something that we don't think about very often, but it's all through the scriptures. It's fascinating. There's somebody else who's kinfolk to Abraham. Let's take a look at Exodus 33. We're still coming back to Galatians. That's our main scripture because it's telling us what to do, and we'll review that again. But Exodus 33, and then we'll pick out the perfect scriptures, chapter 33 and verse 7. "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it." I've read this before, but I never noticed it. Listen to this. I mean, this is amazing. "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. While the Lord spoke with Moses, whenever the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent." So it doesn't have to be in a park. It doesn't have to be under a tree. It can be at the entrance to your tent or your house. "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. But Moses spoke face to face as a man speaks with his friend." Isn't that fascinating? But Moses also was a friend of God. Now let's take a look at John chapter 15 real quick, because this is another fascinating how God describes us. And he says in verse 15, "I no longer call you servants." Now, I've always wondered, we're the servants of God, but here's what Jesus says: "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." God's talking to you and me. "I have called you friends because for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." So if you want to know what he received from the Father, it's the Word. Jesus is the Word. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word that we're reading is the Word of God." And he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Can you imagine that? That's how we were called. God chose you. "No man can come to the Father except the Father who has sent me draws him." You have been chosen by God to be best friends. He wants to be best friends with every part of his body. And you are the part of the body of Christ. "Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Now, those are the three big words. "In my name" means according to the will of God, because God only wants what's going to be good for you, not what's bad for you. And sometimes trials are good. Stephen says, "Count it all joy." "But this is my command, love each other." That was the last part of loving God with all your heart. "Love your neighbor as you do yourself." Now let's go back and finish out Galatians chapter 6 and review it again as we conclude. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual," the only way we become spiritual is we ask God to help us to be like Jesus and like him and like the Holy Spirit, to live in us, to take charge of our life every day, all day long. Should be our prayer, our mindset. "You who are spiritual should restore him gently." We should never be out criticizing anybody. That is so natural for us to criticize. Every bone in our body is critical sometimes of this, that, and the other thing. And God wants us to get rid of that critical attitude. We need to hate sin, but not the sinner. He says, "Restore him gently." Gently. Restore. Restore means building up. Remember the sandwich approach. Before you get to the meat, you have a slice of bread on both sides, where you give encouragement on one side and encouragement at the end. And then you get to the meat in the middle. But that way you start out with a positive note and you end with a positive note, and the meat is what is really necessary in order to help restore them. But watch yourself. In other words, look in the mirror and just say, God, help me to be a better example so that anything I say to others, that I'm not doing the opposite myself. Carry each other's burdens. Now, that doesn't mean fix people. Carry each other's burdens. In other words, be supportive. One of the biggest things you can do is just make a phone call to somebody. The number one problem in the world is loneliness. Make a phone call is fulfilling the scripture. Carry each other's burdens. You don't have to go there and lift something heavy. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do that. But it's not our job to solve everybody's problems. It's our job to do what God says, and that is carry each other's burdens, be supportive, be encouraging, build each other up in your most holy faith. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ, as love God with all your heart, soul, mind, being, strength, and so forth, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's impossible. How can you love your neighbor as you do yourself when you spend all day long combing your hair, taking your shower, and fixing everything, and eating, and so forth? When was the last time you went and gave your neighbor a shower, and they gave you, you know, you combed your neighbor's hair, and you did all these other things? But the point is, God wants us to love our neighbors the way we do ourselves. In other words, hold them in the highest esteem, and always be encouraging, and let them know that you are so happy that they are your neighbor. And then they might even begin to be nice to you. And if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. We just have to understand that that is the truth. That without Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. How much less can we do when we're not God in the flesh? But we have God in our flesh, living in us, empowering us to do the impossible. But each one should test his own actions. In other words, if you have any questions. Ask your best friend. Maybe you have another human best friend. Say, what is it that you think would be the most important thing for me to change? If you were in my shoes, what is it that I do that annoys you? Is there anything? And tell them, be honest, and that I'm going to love you better after you tell me, even if I don't want to hear it. But that way, it takes away all the fear of being able to tell you what they've been wanting to tell you for years. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, because comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. The Bible, that's what exactly what the Bible says. For each one should carry his own load. We each have our own path to salvation, but we're all on different plateaus or different roads and so forth, because that's the road that God has given to us to walk on. But we need to be willing to carry our own challenges and deal with it. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. And so don't forget that we've got those little index cards out there. If you've got any questions or thoughts or feedback or whatever, and you can sign your name, but don't feel like you need to, whatever. If you'd like to see something covered in the future, or if you wouldn't, anything on there. But it's just a way to communicate without any concern. And I'll leave those there every week. Okay? You just put them in the offering box and it'll be an offering. But do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, and the one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And so if you're only looking out for me, myself, and I, then you are heading in the wrong direction, because God commands us to love our neighbor as we do ourselves, and that levels the playing field so we don't have to be arguing and fighting and bickering and bellyaching. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. In other words, God's going to give you more of His Spirit so that you can think like He does. And when you sow to please the Spirit, say, God, I want to be your best friend. I want to please you in everything that I do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. When you do that, you will reap the eternal life or the Holy Spirit and eventually a spirit body. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I'd like to read a quick little phrase here about Starbucks. Have anybody ever gone to Starbucks before? Yeah. This is what the CEO of Starbucks had to say. Howard Schultz was the CEO of Starbucks. But before the iconic coffee brand became famous, Howard Schultz was turned down by 217 banks while trying to secure funds to start his business. Interesting. Schultz faced constant rejection as well as family pressure, yet he did not give up. His persistence eventually paid off as he finally secured the needed funding. Now the company is the most widely recognized coffee brand in the world and boasting more than 137,000 employees worldwide. And you could say that through his persistence, Schultz reaped a harvest. He sure did. A harvest of coffee and a little bit of money on the side. Anyway, fascinating. But this is another instruction on how to win friends and influence people. Never give up. Never give up on anybody ever, because God doesn't give up on us. He says once he's begun a good work in you, he will perform it. That's such good news. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Just remember the phone. It's not phony. It's fantastic to be able to call people. And if you can't think of somebody to call, ask God to reveal to you who he wants you to call. He'll answer that. And you'll all of a sudden somebody's name will pop up in your mind. And guess where that came from? It came from God. You know, he might have put that thought in your mind when you were thinking about something else. But God wants us to do what he said here. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. And so he makes it very clear. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. In other words, don't go around trying to straighten people out. That's not our job. Pray for people and love them to pieces. And help them any way you can. And if they're causing division in the church, that's when verse 1 kicks in. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. A lot of times we don't want to be persecuted because we're Christians in a very unchristian society in many cases. And so we don't want to be ending up being criticized privately. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me. And we need to be willing to crucify the world, not the people in the world, but the world's way of doing things. My way or the highway. Gimme, gimme, Cocoa Pop. You know, I want everything my way or I'm going to take the highway. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. It's not about the physical. Circumcision is talking about the physical. It's the spiritual that matters. It's the character. It's Christ living in you. That's what matters to God, because everything else is going to disappear. Everything materialistic is going to disappear, and we'll be having a spirit body, and everything will be changed to the place where eye has not seen or even heard. He can't even imagine what it's going to be like when we are spirit beings and living in a spirit world. So peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. In other words, all of you who feel like you've screwed up big time, because that's the way they felt. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, and he is giving us everything, and we don't deserve it, but let's thank him. Dear Father, we just thank you so very much that you have given us everything. We shall inherit all things because we'll be married to your son, we'll be his body. These things are so incomprehensible, we can't even wrap our minds around it. But we just thank you, God, that you love us the way we want to love you. And we ask you to live in us and help us to learn how to be your best friend, because you already enjoy us and we want to enjoy you the way you enjoy us. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.